Good morning. My name is Vike Thurston. I'm on the pastoral team here at Cedar Ridge. And as Matthew said, this morning's about experiencing God in silence. Thank you. No. He set me up for that, so. No, actually, I'd like to share a little from my personal experience, and I think it'll become clear why I'm sharing on this morning. So in the discipleship group material, there are three ways or forms of prayer or meditation that you can try this week. There's the breath prayer, there's centering prayer, and there's something called examine. And for me, centering prayer has become the central way that I connect with God. About seven years ago, I started doing this as a daily practice, and it has become very meaningful to me. Now, I think all of us, if we're following Christ, if we're practicing Christians, have experienced some point along the way in which our prayer, our devotional life is not so great, or it sort of gets dry, or it feels like going through the motions. Right before I started doing this centering prayer, maybe for a period of a couple years, I can't remember, but I found that I could not pray at all. I mean, I'd been a practicing Christian for decades. I knew about how to intercede for others and pray for others. I knew about worship. I knew about prayers of thanksgiving, you know, and could do all that. But for some reason, at this point in my life, it all dried up. For the life of me, I could not pray. So I was going to church and I'd read the Bible and things, but this part of my life had just gone dead. And I was led to read about meditation and contemplation in the Christian tradition. And I ran across a book by Father Thomas Keating called Open Mind, Open Heart. And Keating and some others had decided, you know, there's some great things we do in the monasteries that the lay people don't get. So let's take some of that and teach it to lay people in a form that fits into their busy lives and that they can use. And hence a book like Open Heart, Open Mind, which is about centering prayer. And centering prayer is basically using a sacred word to return to and open ourselves to God in the process of all these distracting thoughts and becoming still, like Matthew was talking about. And the central passage for this morning is be still and know that I'm God. So we're going to be talking about the challenges of being still, maybe some ways to help you be still. But anyway, as I begin to do this, I found, you know, Matthew talked about some things fit us and some things don't. This practice, for some reason, fit me to a T. And when I would, I commute from Columbia to Washington, D.C. Monday through Friday. And the commuter bus becomes the place of prayer for me to do this practice. I catch a bus at 5:40 in the morning, and people on the bus are not very loud at that point in the morning, you know. Some of them are snoozing, some of them are doing, you know, the electronic devices are omnipresent at this point, you know, people. But the lights are off, and it's a great time to do centering prayer. So that became a place for me to do this. And I found that over time, I become more and more adept at sustaining periods of silence and connecting with God in a powerful way. So it's out of this experience, I'm kind of humbled to even be able to share with you this morning in this area. So to start, let's back way up. Let's back up to Jesus' experience, Jesus' example. We're going to look at a passage in Luke, the Gospel of Luke. It's verses 5, 15 through 16. And it says, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." And so that first sentence, first thing that strikes you is You know, a lot of us are busy, but I don't think you could outdo Jesus for being busy. That he was constantly pressed with crowds of people wanting healing, people interested in his teaching. You know, heal a blind man there, upraise a sick child here, give the Sermon on the Mount at 10 o'clock. You know, one thing after another. And yet, Jesus often withdrew. He had a habit, he had a practice of withdrawing from all of that. And I think that the phrase lonely places is very evocative. He deliberately sought out a place of solitude, of quiet, a lonely place. And he prayed. And you know, throughout the Gospels, Jesus keeps referring to my Father. And that's something that used to bother the religious authorities of the time. He seemed to talk about God on such familiar terms, because he had this deep connection with the Father. And I think it came out of not only this, but certainly key to that was his times of withdrawing to lonely places. And so what does that say to us? I think it says something to us about what will help us is to find a place of solitude, to find times to pray like that. But one thing I'm struck with, if we go to this next passage in the Gospel of John, over years of looking at this passage in John, I've come to believe Jesus really wanted us to experience the Father as he experienced the Father. That might be a radical thought, because you're thinking, well, Jesus' spiritual life has got to be way above our spiritual life, right? He's Jesus, you know. But I think as we read this from the point of view, the heart of Jesus, you know, right before he's arrested, killed, suffered, all of that, as he's leaving his disciples, this is what's on his heart. He says, if you really love me, you will keep the commandments I've given you. I will ask the Father to give you someone else to stand by you, to be with you always. And by that I mean the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, for it can neither see nor recognize that Spirit. But you recognize him, for he is with you now and will be in your hearts. I am not going to leave you alone in the world. I am coming to you. In a very little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I am really alive, and you will be alive too. When that day comes, you will realize that I am in my Father, that you are in me, and I am in you. Every man who knows my commandments and obeys them is the man who really loves me. Every man who really loves me will himself be loved by my Father. I too will love him and make myself known to him. So I think it's fascinating in that there's a promise of experiencing God. You know, in Christian terms, we speak of the Trinity, but here you have all three persons. You have experiencing God through the Spirit, through the Father, and the Son. And just to summarize what's in this passage, if we can go to the next slide, I think the promise of experiencing Father, Son, and Spirit includes the following. You will see and recognize Jesus' Spirit in your heart. And in John's language, this seeing it's a mystical kind of thing. It's, you know, last week we had approaching God through the senses. Your two eyes are part of the senses. The contemplative tradition speaks of a third eye, or an inner eye, that is able to see spiritual reality. And that's what Jesus is referring to. You will see Jesus as he comes to you. I strongly believe in this passage when he says, I am coming to you. This is not a passage about the second coming. This is a passage about a personal coming to each of us that love him and open our hearts to him. You will be fully alive as Jesus is alive, is the promise there. You will experience the love of the Father. Here's that concern. Jesus has this wonderful connection. His concern is that we have the same connection with the Father. You will realize Jesus is in you as you are in him. So this, You know, Matthew had shared a few weeks ago, a couple times, about in Ephesians where the height, the depth, the width, the length of the love of God that's beyond knowing, that we'd experience that, and how that is sometimes feels out of our reach. This is a similar passage, I think. The promise seems to be there of this fantastic experience, this deep connection. And yet, I think for most of us, maybe all of us, we don't live there. That's not our experience day by day. That's not our experience in the middle of a workplace when there's a deadline and people are freaking out, you know. That's not our experience when there's an argument with somebody we love and we can't seem to get through to them. Of course, we're not listening to them, but you know, in the midst of all that stuff, can that be our experience? And so I think the verse we're going to look at next is key to why this is such a challenge, and we have to come to terms with it. This is the central scripture for this week. Be still and know that I am God. And I think it's pretty apparent that the be still part is a prerequisite to knowing I'm God. Do you follow that? Be still and know that I am God. And yet the be still part is so hard. It's a challenge for us. Any form of meditation you do, any contemplative prayer, any centering prayer, whatever it might be, the moment we enter into trying to do this kind of a prayer practice, we become aware of this constant stream of thoughts. These thoughts that have no beginning and have no end. And it's like there's a thought machine that just generates it. Does it take you any effort to think? No, the thoughts are there before you even are aware that you're thinking. And to stop those thoughts, to be still, is a huge challenge because part of the reason is because our very sense of ourself and our existence in this world is so bound up with those thoughts. We're immersed in thoughts. We're making judgments about people throughout the day, assessing people. We're having imaginary conversations. We're about to have an encounter with somebody that we're anxious about, and we'll rehearse that conversation in our head as if we could control it and what they'll say. We think about our retirement. Will we be able to retire? When can we retire? All those things, to silence those is really difficult. So one of the things as I was reading about these kind of practices and so on that was helpful to me is to be still. We have to find a way to lighten up, seriously lighten up about our thinking, because we can invest so much in our thoughts. Do you know you wouldn't like this, but if we could play the soundtrack of your mind over the sound system for 5 minutes, I think most of us would get bored before those 5 minutes. I think we'd get bored. But because there are thoughts, ooh, they're really significant. We're bound up in them. We're immersed in them. We can't silence them. So one of the ways that's helpful in the whole process of being still, to me anyway, was to look at my thoughts in a different way. Now, one metaphor I would offer you is that I thought of a bubble machine. How many of you even know who Lawrence Welk is? Okay. He had a bubble machine on his show, and the bubbles would generate. And so one metaphor is to realize, to look at our thoughts in a different way. They're thought bubbles that, you notice how thoughts don't have discrete beginnings and endings. There's a little thought fragment, it's a bubble, and it But this one's coming along. You know, and they're endless, and they keep coming. If you could look, and the human mind has this amazing capacity to think about our thinking. Incredible. To think, to not be immersed in it, but to actually look at what we're thinking. What is that? It's a mystery. But if you could look at your thought bubbles and see them pop as they go by, it's a way of detaching from your thinking and being still. We are so attached to our thoughts. So part of being still is the ability to detach, see them go by like bubbles. One other analogy would be the idea of commentary. You turn on ESPN or MSNBC or any, you know, the minute you turn on the television, there's commentary, endless babbling. They have to fill airtime. They're filling it. The commentary goes on and on about endless things, about commentary about trivial, boring things when you stop and think about it. But the commentary just keeps going. That's the way our mind is. And again, this ability to back up. If we could listen to our own commentary, that's another way of detaching. I'm going to do a thought experiment with you in a minute. But we did this with someone in the childcare, one of the childcare providers at 9 o'clock. And she was trying to think of her thoughts as thought bubbles, and she had this whole commentary going about thought bubbles. And she said, "Oh, that was the commentary." And she saw it, and the minute she saw it, she was not in it. You see what I mean? She was no longer immersed in it and could detach from it. So what I'm going to have you do, this is a thought experiment. It won't run longer than a minute, minute and a half, so don't worry. What I want you to do, we're just going to experiment with and practice detaching from our thoughts in one of these two ways, whatever way fits best for you. In other words, the thought bubbles or the commentary idea. So for a minute, minute and a half, as your thinking is going by, see the thoughts go by. Watch them go by as bubbles and watch them pop. Because they're lighter than air. They're not heavy. They don't solve anything. They don't change the world. They don't feed your body. They just go by. It's a different way of looking at thoughts. So you can do the thought bubble. You can do the thought bubble method, or you can do the commentary. Listen to the commentary as the commentary is going by. So either listen to your commentary, or watch the thought bubbles go by and pop. So 1 minute. Close your eyes. It's probably easier. Whatever's thinking is, watch the bubbles pop, or just listen in on the commentary. Okay. Go for it. Okay, let's stop that for a minute. My commentary was, I wonder how long I should let this go on. I wonder how they're doing with this. Are they thinking this is really weird? But that was my commentary. And see, behind that commentary is an anxious person, or an anxious self, right? But the minute I can see that commentary, I can disassociate from the anxious self. And that's part of this being still and knowing. There's, in the contemplative tradition, there's the false self is all bound up with these thoughts and preserving itself and having people like me and all of that stuff. Whereas if we can be silent and connect with the true self who's in communion with God, that's the true self. So just by hearing my commentary of some anxiety, I'm not identified with that false self. I'm gonna let it go. Okay? Turn to someone behind you, next to you. How was that little experiment for you? Just take 30 seconds or so and talk about what was your commentary? Did you notice it? Were the bubbles going by? Just talk about it. Ravens? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, did anybody want to share with us what that was like for you? Anybody? Go ahead, Tony.
I hear that stream of thoughts all the time, and it really annoys me when I try to pray.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't get quiet.
Right.
But just now when you told me to look at the bubbles, everything shut up. I don't
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Tony was trying to look at the bubbles and everything shut up. So whatever works. What you were going to say something. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
The only thing I could think of was that I wasn't thinking of anything.
Wow. I discovered a way to keep people from thinking anything. That's really cool. Bill?
Well, on something like that, I'm surprised that sometimes thought bubbles would bob up, some this time they didn't.
Yeah.
So but what happened is the commentary started about, but not thinking.
The commentary kicks in.
So
yeah.
Then, yeah, good looking commentary.
But see what's interesting, at least you can identify it as commentary.
Right.
Right? And that's a way of detaching. Okay, let's go on. This next slide, I want to say a little bit more about be still and know and what that involves. At least for me, in my experience with this, I've been able to relate certain scriptural principles to the practice. Under be still, the idea of being emptied of self, Philippians 2, it says, have the mind of Christ, the consciousness of Christ. And it says he emptied himself. He didn't cling to the privileges of being God, but he emptied himself. The idea of losing the false self to find the true self. He said, deny yourself, take up your cross. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life, his self, will find it. And the idea of being dead to self and alive to Christ. To me, this practice has been a very practical way to deny myself. Because when you read that verse, deny yourself, what do you do? What do you do with that? But if being still means letting go of these thoughts that are so bound up in myself and preserving myself and taking care of the world I live in, you know, each time we do that and return to the sacred word and centering prayer and open ourselves back up to God. That could happen 100 times in one sitting. So that's 100 times I've denied myself. It's a very small denial, but 100 times, thousands of times, tens of thousands of times over a period of years, that's a lot of, that adds up, and it has a transformative effect in my life. Sometimes speakers on a Sunday morning will refer to their wife's experience of them, and it becomes kind of a joke, but I would actually, you can ask Vicki, I am different because of this. And one of the ways I'm different is that this very process of detaching, if I have an initial reaction that this is the way I want to do it, or I don't want to do that, the lapse time between when that kicks in and when I let go of it has shrunk, because I can let go faster. I can shift out of that, let go of it, deny myself. Nod your head, dear, that's true. You know. So to me, this is, it may seem esoteric or odd or abstract. To me, it's a practical way to deny myself. It's a practical way to experience this aspect of our spiritual journey. What we're going to do now is a breath prayer. So breath prayer is one of the prayer methods in your discipleship material for this week. And what it involves is using the breath to be still and open back up to God and focus on God. So that when all these distracting thoughts are hitting us, it's like, return to the breath. And with the breath, the one that's described this week in your material speaks of breathing in God's love and then relaxing into his love and the love filling the room. Sometimes we do breath prayer with just a small phrase, and that's what I'd like to do with you this morning. A little further on in that passage in John we were just looking at, in John 15, Jesus says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. You and me, I and you. So I want to use that as a, let me get some water. I want to use that as a phrase for our breath prayer this morning. So in other words, when we return to the breathing from the distracting thought, we're going to breathe in, you and me. We're going to breathe out, I and you. And there's a rhythm to that that goes with your breath. And the rhythm helps let the distracting thoughts dissipate and dissolve. Okay? So it's going to be on the in-breath, you and me. And on the out-breath, I and you. Now, I'm going to simulate a breath prayer with you. I'm going to coach you through it because I'm going to introduce the distracting thought. And you're going to run with it because your brain will just run with it. It'll have a commentary about it even if it doesn't go with what my thought is. And then I will bring you back to the breathing, you and me, I and you, okay? So you can get some experience of this. Okay, so to do this, first thing, put both feet on the floor, sit up straight, you know, get your back against the back of the chair, or sit out on the front of your chair, straight up. Close your eyes. I think it's most conducive to this. Close your eyes. And first of all, just become aware of your breath. Don't do anything, just become aware of your breath. Focus on your breath for a minute. And then I want you to, on the inhale, breathe in just a little deeper, and exhale just a little longer than you have been. And now, just get into a rhythm with this of breathing in you and me, breathe out I and you. Breathe in you and me, and breathe out I and you. And just let that go for a bit. Just keep that rhythm. Okay, first distracting thought, an upcoming event that you are looking forward to. An upcoming event that you are looking forward to. Oh, time to pop that thought bubble. Return to your breathing, you and me, and I and you. You and me, and I and you. Oh, here comes another distracting thought. A recent disagreement or conflict that you had with somebody. A recent disagreement, a conflict you had with someone. Oh, pop that thought bubble, return to your breathing. You and me, and I and you. Breathe in, you and me. Breathe out, I and you. Oh, here comes another one. And what could I eat for my next meal? Oh, time to return to breathing. You and me, and I and you. Out of the blue. We're reminded of an obligation you wish you could get out of. Something you have to do, you just wish you could get out of some way. Thought bubbles and commentary. Return to your breathing. I, you and me, and I and you. It's feeling good. It reminds me of a pleasant memory. A pleasant memory. Okay, thought bubbles of pleasant memory. But this is not the time we're being silent. Return to your breathing. You and me, and I and you. One more distracting thought comes in. Something you want to say to somebody, but don't know if you can say it or how you would say it. Something difficult that you want to say to somebody, but don't know how to say it. Okay, once more, return to your breathing. You and me, and I and you. And when you're ready, just open your eyes, come back into the room. So, how was that? What we simulated is fairly typical of this kind of prayer practice. These thoughts will come in, and you'll have to see. I distracted you, and I brought you back. When you do this, you can distract yourself, and it'll be up to you to come back and return to your breathing and your focus. Again, share with somebody. I want you to answer one question as you share with somebody else. What was the hardest of those distracting thoughts for you to let go of and return to them? Okay, maybe you could talk more about that later, after the service. For now, we're gonna wrap up. Just by way of closing off this message on. Oh, by way of closing it off, I'll lose my mic. Let's see, that'll close it off. Okay. You might wonder after doing something like that, is there a payoff to doing this? You know, does it really get us anywhere? And all I can say is, after 7 years of doing this, yes indeed. I think, as I mentioned earlier, over time, I've become more adept at sustaining silence and connecting with God. And you know, it's like anything, some days are better than others. Some days are more, the connection is greater, the sense of God's love is deeper than on other days. So some Saturday mornings after I've been praying and I come down, Vicki and I might be making breakfast together. And every so often, I'm tempted to share with her what I've been experiencing. But then as soon as I start to, I can't. The best I can do, I can't describe it. But I'll mention two kinds. When that connection is most real for me, two aspects of it that I'll mention to you. One is the feeling, the experience of not knowing where I leave off and where Jesus begins. There's the I and you and the you and me becomes very real. That's one aspect. Another is, at least in the metaphor of an ocean where the waves are just washing over me, waves of love. And even as I experience that, I have a sense that this ocean is infinite, this infinite ocean of love. And I, you know, that's... my experience is very immediate, and at the same time, I sense this huge, infinite ocean of love. So anyway, I encourage you, give it a try. Like Matthew said, let's be open. You might have tried it before and it didn't work. You might be at a different place now. You might try it and it might be something that helps you experience God. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that the ocean of love is there regardless of what we're thinking, regardless of our ability to be still. But we do ask you that you would help us to be still enough on a daily basis to know that you are God, to have a deeper connection with you. Pray that you would give us grace this week as we maybe try something new. And we're only trying something new because there's a deep thirst, there's a deep longing in our hearts that only you can satisfy. So we pray these things in your name. Amen.